So, quick review
of what we learned last time. We learned that huge machlokas. A lot of rabbis on both sides.
There's like a bunch of rabbis.
A lot of rabbis. A lot of different opinions. Right? Both for and against. Right? And either way is legitimate. But mainly Kabbalistically oriented rabbis, in addition to a lot of rationalist rabbis also, do believe in it. And it seems like it's become more and more mikubal. It's become more and more accepted. And nowadays, it's pretty mainstream. To the point there are even like certain rabbis that's more like, you know, in the Haredi world who say that you have to believe in it. Because it's, you know, one of those things that's been accepted by Klal Yisrael. And now it is, you know, many, many rabbis from both sides of the spectrum do believe in such a concept. But of course, there are many rabbis who don't. And that's good too. And we talked about why I personally believe in it. It's just mainly because of the books that I've read and these stories and these articles and these YouTube videos. And there's scientific studies which just seem to indicate like this is a real thing out there. It's not just, you know, folksy stories.
Good.
So then today I wanted to focus on what does it mean? How does it work a little bit? Obviously I'm not going to really get in depth because I'm not a Kabbalistic expert myself. But well, some little traces, and these are things that are very relevant for everyone. So first of all, we all know that we have a soul, okay? We're all created in the image of God. And what that means is that we all have a soul. And the Arizal was the one who started revealing that what it really means to all have a soul. So he would actually, people would go to him and he would tell them what their tikkun is. Right? That's what the stories say. So what does it mean, what your tikkun is? It means that you have to do certain things in order to achieve, to become the image of God. It's not that you are in the image of God, but that you're fixing yourself to get more and more close to that image of God. Okay? And that each person, each specific person has certain fixings that they have to do. And his student, Rav Chaim Vital, wrote this book called The Gates of Reincarnation, which you could get it online for free, KabbalahOnline.com, whatever. And in it, he talks about how each life is an opportunity to fix things that we messed up in last life or the life before. So, and the Baal Shem Tov also, the founder of Chassidut, also was very into this concept of that each soul, each life, you have up certain tikkunim and fixings that we all have to achieve. Okay, we may have a specific fixing, and there are also fixings that on a day-to-day level we must accomplish. Okay? Now, let's stop for a second. I mentioned that all of us have different, we have souls. So generally, when we say soul, we think of like, I don't know, this spiritual hovering thing around here, you know, like that is within us. But the truth is, according to the Kabbalah, it's much more complicated than that. Even actually, you can apply this from the Gemara too. And they say that there are 5 different levels of the soul. Okay? So there's the nefesh, which is kind of like the animal instinctual drives part of the soul, which everything has. And it's just like the id, almost, right? Using Freudian terminology. Yeah. And there's the ruach, which is like more emotions. There's the neshama, which is the inner soul, which is more intellect. There's the chaya, which is somewhere between conscious and superconscious. And then there's the yechida, which is the divine aspect of the soul, which we are only aware of, only great tzaddikim. And I'm sure you've heard of these things. The point is that it's not as simple as saying, oh, my soul came back in this world and then my soul left and came in another body. Rather, what it could be is that a part of your soul comes back in another life and a part of your soul achieved its tikkun. But since the whole soul didn't achieve its tikkun, part of your soul had to come into a different body. Okay? So you think that things are a lot more complicated and complex than, you know, the simplistic way that it's generally presented. You have a soul, it comes into another body. Right? It could be a little bit of a mixture. It could be that, and this is not, I mean, this is what the Rizal teaches, that each part of the soul has to achieve its specific tikkun. So your nefesh may have achieved its tikkun, but then your ruach has to come back another life. That's one like a little bit the dynamics of the soul. By the way, what I'm getting this mainly from this book by Arya Trugman called Return Again. And it's a really, really fascinating book if you want to really go get Ian.
Does he get to, like, about people who, like, go to hell? Like, how does hell fit into this?
Yeah, he does go through that there are different forms of punishment. And hell is one of those forms of punishment, the gvura side of punishment. There's another thing where your soul gets flung around, so to speak. And Gilgal is considered the chesed part of punishment. Right? Where it's God gives you another opportunity to fix something that you messed up on, which is out of God's mercy. Okay? But yeah, he does talk about the concept of hell. And of course, hell does not mean, you know, burning fire in the way it's been depicted, but rather it's a spiritual concept of you feeling the, you know, the effects of the bad deeds you did and purifying yourself. And yeah, he does get into that. So Gilgal is part of that. Okay? Now, good. So there are different soul levels. Another complicated part of this equation is a concept called Ibur. What does Ibur mean? It means impregnating. Which means that the Rizal teaches a part of your soul could leave you and impregnate another person and become part of another person first to achieve certain goals, to achieve certain purposes, to help him, to strengthen him, or perhaps because it couldn't achieve its tikkun through you, so it does it through another person, right? And this is not something that just when you die, this could be happening right now. That could be happening right now. It's pretty freaky. Part of my soul is going into yours.
Do you get someone else's?
And I could be getting some of yours. How this works exactly, like I said, I'm not a Kabbalistic expert. I'm just exposing you to these are ideas that the Arizal talks about in his Shara Gilgulim book. And maybe why some people get scared of this stuff, because it's pretty freaky. But there are maybe souls who just come into the world in order to help others and fix others. It's not about fixing themselves. Or maybe them fixing others is their tikkun. Okay, so things are much more complicated than, you know, this more simplistic way that it may have been presented. Mm-hmm. Okay, why might a person have to come back into the world, just to clarify? So in the 8th chapter of Shara Gilgulim, the Arizal gives a couple of possible explanations. So let's go through, what would you think? Why would a person have to come back into the world?
There's something more to achieve.
In what sense?
They didn't reach their full potential.
Good, how so? Give me specifics. I want to, you know, make it real.
Yeah, like physically, they're just like things that they have a purpose to fix. Like if they're a doctor and there's more people, they have the ability to heal, then maybe they can come back. And
right, exactly. I don't know if they're using that example, but the Rizal talks about if a person didn't have children, for example, it could be they will come back and his soul will have to come back and to achieve that tikkun. Another more classic example is a mitzvah. There was a mitzvah that he was meant to achieve. He didn't fulfill that mitzvah. And thus, he's got to go back and do that mitzvah. It could be there's a mitzvah he did, but he didn't do it with all his heart. He didn't do it well enough. Okay? Could be that there was an avera, which he did. And because of that avera, different Kabbalistic sources say you have to come back. Okay? In order to rectify that mistake. Okay? Could be to find a soulmate. Could be to fix a relationship which you messed up with your children, with a friend, right? To fix certain types of, certain patterns in relationships. And this works very similar to like what we saw in that book that I was telling you about, In Many Lives, Many Worlds, where this lady was reliving her old relationships. And maybe it was in order to fix those relationships, right? So all of these are possibilities of why a person might have to come back. Okay? Good. We'll get back to a lot of these topics at the end of just like Lamaisa practically, like what does this mean for us? But just to, you know, throw out some more crazy concepts. There is a concept that, and this is a machlokus between different mekubalim, but there is a concept that you can come back as a lower life form, not necessarily as a human being, perhaps as an animal, perhaps as a plant, perhaps as a rock. And the fascinating thing is, the Arizal says these objects are actually aware more than we are. A human is not aware of his previous reincarnation for the most part. But these objects may even have some sort of awareness that they have to achieve this tikkun. Right? Pretty crazy. Right? This is the foundation of the idea that I'm sure you've been exposed to, that we've been exposed to, that you eat a fish or you eat chicken on Shabbos, and that can achieve its tikkun, that can fix it. Right? This is rooted in this Arizal idea that maybe, you know, tzaddikim might come back as fish, right? Because, and they need to achieve their tikkun, and by you using it for a holy purpose, or by us, you know, using this table for a holy purpose, or this phone for a holy purpose, we may be achieving its tikkun, right? So these are all ideas that the Arizal and other Kabbalists allude to, though not everyone necessarily agrees with this. This is more controversial. This is what Rav Sadia Gaon didn't like, for example, when he's saying, ah, animals or human, that, you know, that was too much for him. But it is an idea out there. It's actually one of the reasons why I ate chicken and meat and fish on Shabbos for many years. Because I figured, how can I not fix these souls, maybe, you know? It was also because I really like chicken and fish. But
could you also be killing souls?
Right. So that's where I'm at now. I'm saying, well, there's so many plants that I want to raise their souls up. And also, and maybe by restraining from doing something which I feel to be cruel and unethical, I'm actually achieving that tikkun. But it could be from depending on where a person's at, you know, where they're holding that, they can achieve it. These are all just possibilities. Nothing that I don't know, you know? Some people feel like they know. I once had a guy come to my house, he said, oh, Rabbi Nachman guarantees that if you eat a fish before you wash, you're doing a fixing. So I'm not so certain. But is it possible? Perhaps. I don't know. The result does bring it down. Okay, what else is fascinating? So the concept that you may only have a certain amount of chances to achieve your tikkun two or three times is brought down by the result. Although then afterwards it explains, oh, maybe three times if you've made no progress, but if is your last chance. But if you made a little bit of progress, you get another set of three times. The Rizal also talks about the concept of women and men, and how women sometimes may come into the world in order to fix their soulmates, right? And men fixing their women's soulmate to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. Although he stresses more women fixing men. And this is a concept which a lot of Hasidic Svarim use to say, ah, your wife did something wrong, she cooked the meat wrong, must be it's a fixing, must be you're meant to, that's what she's there for, she's there to fix you. And therefore never get angry about it, never complain, because it's there to help you work on anger, or work on patience, or work on whatever.
So could people be brought back, like maybe they could be fulfilled, like they can achieve their purpose, but like, well, I guess in the sense they wouldn't achieve their purpose, because they're helping someone else achieve their purpose.
But that is their purpose.
Right.
Right. Okay. Right. Exactly. So, basically, all of these are possibilities. Right. It's really fascinating. Great. Okay. So, like I said, I'm not really going to go into all the nitty gritty details of how it all works. I don't really know. But let's take 5-10 minutes to think. Okay. What does it mean in our personal lives? Who cares? Why does it matter? As many have pointed out. Okay. So basically, telling me, like, you know, to be a good person. Like, I already knew that, you know? Keep the mitzvahs, right? So first of all, as we originally mentioned, the Bahir and others do use reincarnation, and the Rizal says this explicitly, is the only way to understand theodicity. It's the only way to explain why the bad things happen in the world, and which seem to make no sense, right? And obviously, I wouldn't go and tell that to someone who's mourning, who's having, you know, but it could be. It could be that that child who was brought into the world really was to achieve its fixing, its tikkun. And there are many stories like that, you know, where tzaddikim say that this child or this tragedy happened because he had to achieve its fixing, you know, or these souls are in the world, don't, you know, and they to achieve a certain goal. And it definitely can and does bring certain consolation to people, knowing that there's at least a possibility that, you know, they achieve their fixing. And then you don't look at it as a tragedy. You look at it as, okay, they came into the world, they did what they had to do, and then they left them. But, you know, it can help put a positive spin on a really negative situation.
So even, like, you're like a baby who, like, you know, they haven't had any control of their lives. If they, unfortunately, have, like, a tragic death as a baby, they could still make an impact on others, and they're,
exactly,
you know, being created and like existing for us the whole time.
Exactly, exactly. And there's a really freaky story.
And one of these, I'm going to show you the source, about this baby who was like
way before the age you could speak. And he, before he died, he said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. This person didn't believe in Gilgulim, but he saw this for himself, and then he changed his mind. And, like, there are stories like that. So I certainly think that's possible, and that's one practical ramification of reincarnation. Of course, anyway, we believe in the next world. So anyway, you could explain these things without reincarnation, but it just happens to be that this, you know, is an explanation that satisfies some people.
Some of these things just seem like flaws in nature, though. It's like, this isn't how like nature works, but like, Hashem's kind of like inserting his like ever-present, like overpowering like influence.
Well, that's a general question, not specifically about Gilgul. It's more about Hashkacha Pratis. But how could God really be guiding every individual thing that's happening if things seem to go according to nature? Like, how does that work?
Right.
I mean, that's a good question. I don't have the answer exactly, but I think that's in general, if you believe that everything happens for a reason, everything's from God, then, like, you know, that question stands. And I don't have an answer because I don't really understand God, but I do think that's something that Judaism, at least Hasidus and Kabbalah, believes in very strongly. Mm-hmm. Anyways, okay. So there's the theodicity, there's why bad things happen aspect. Another important part for me is in terms of my relationship with people. In terms of what, there's a great man, Chaim Yerushalayim, who's close to my wife. My wife was close to him. And he actually has passed away recently. And he was actually a little bit of a Kabbalist, quite a Kabbalist, who had Ruach HaKodesh, their stories. And he would always say, souls travel together. And basically the point is that everything happens for a reason. And that every relationship you have, every person you meet, is not random. It happens for a reason. And if we take that perspective, it really changes everything. The way that we relate to people, you know, if we really relate it to people, like, wow, this is my fixing. Some people annoy you. Oh, maybe one of my whole purposes is to fix that relationship, right? And to make him friends with me. And instead of getting annoyed, or some people I naturally cling to, oh, maybe that's because in our previous life we come from the same soul root. That's something I forgot to mention. There's another important Kabbalistic Gilgul concept, is that we're all really, our souls are related to Adam HaKadmon, to Adam Rishon's soul. And so, but that soul was huge. And the different people may be related in the same soul root. And that's why certain people would be more connected. I affect them more when I act. And I can even affect people who are already dead, their souls. They say tzaddikim souls. When I do a good deed, their souls might be raised to a higher level, says the Arizal. Right? So it could be that I feel a certain attraction towards a certain person, a girl, a guy, whatever, a relationship. It, you know, that's because of our previous reincarnations. And this, you know, taking this more complex way of looking at things can, you know, give me that extra push to be more compassionate, to be more loving, to invest in every relationship I meet, even if it's just a random person on the street, right? Or a guy who's coming through my Shabbos table once and I'll never see him again. But who knows? Like, if reincarnation is true and Arizal is right, like, wow, like, maybe that's my whole purpose in life, you know? Who knows? So it just makes life more complex and more beautiful, if you ask me. If you buy into it. Obviously, in the sense, now there's two things that they're kind of contradictory, but they're both stressed in Chassidus Sfarim about what my tikkun is. Now, the third aspect is achieving my goal, achieving my fixing. So how do I know what my fixing is? Great, I know that I have a fixing, but what is my fixing practically? How do I know? Do I have to go to a reincarnation specialist? Right? Do I need to go to Mukubal? So the Nativo Chalom, Slon Mareva, Chassidic Rebbe, suggests, he says, he doesn't just suggest, that whatever it is that you struggle with, that's your fixing. Right? Whatever it is that you, not just that you struggle with, but that you know that you have to overcome this, and you still struggle with it, that's your fixing. And on the other hand, whatever you know you're really good at, whatever you're especially good at, that's also your tikkun. That could also be your fixing. The middle stuff, I don't know. But I know that, let's say, Isaac Graber is a Baal Chesed. He loves making other people happy, loves bringing a smile. So it could very well, that's his tikkun, either to help other people feel that or to develop that. But if Isaac Graber, Chas V'Shalom, gets angry very easily, so then, and he knows he could overcome that. He feels, right, let's just speak for myself. I know I can overcome overeating and you know, not saying, not rushing, not going too fast. I know it's something that's very important to me. But it's very, very hard for me. I know I can be neater, but it's not natural for me. So that's what I have to focus on. That's my tikkun. That's really what I have to... It could be one of the main reasons that my soul comes into this world is just to focus on that. And having that background could give me such a stronger push to, like, take that seriously and not keep pushing it around. Because in general, I'm a nice guy. Right? But it doesn't matter that you're in general a nice guy. That's not why God put you into the world. That's not what you have to fix. Right? So on a tikkun level, I think it's extremely powerful. I also think on a non-judgmental level, taking this Gilgal approach is huge. Because it's not just a nice cutie-wootie thing to say, okay, yeah, you can't judge other people. Like, yeah, some people have things harder than other people. Like, no, like, you really have no idea why this person came into the world. And you really didn't earn anything. Like, you really may have started on level 9, and he started on level 3, so to speak, and he's raised himself to level 6, and you're on 8. And you really didn't accomplish much. It was just your previous, you know, reincarnation or whatever. So there is no place for judging others who we naturally look down on others for. Right? It just, it really is an upside, it could be an upside down world. You know what I'm saying? So if tikkun is true, if reincarnation is true, it's all about raising yourself to a higher level and nothing about really, like,